Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Seth Greenberg in a moment, but first, start play-by-play call of the day.
Jeremy gets it ahead to Couturier, skates in a high slot, over to Voracek, backhand, he scores! Jake Voracek cuts in front, took the pass from Couturier, and as his 10th goal of the year, the Flyers take the 1-0 lead.
Tim Saunders, with the call on the Flyers radio network. They beat the Penguins last night 3-0. As a preamble, I'll say this. The coaching profession is poor because he's not in it every day, but the broadcasting profession is richer because he is, and that is Seth Greenberg. Seth, welcome to the show. It's great to have you back.
Oh, great to be with you guys. How you guys doing?
Doing really well. Before I get to Kansas State, I want to ask you about Morgan Wootten. Passed away at the age of 88. What kind of example did he set for young people, and what kind of example did he set for fundamentals that helped college coaches once they got his players?
He set the standard as a human being. His compassion, his time, his soft tone, his spirit. Coach Wootten, I had a chance to spend a bunch of time with him on the Reebok trips, and, you know, getting an opportunity to sit with him and just talk life with him. He was a great coach, but he was much more than a coach. He was a mentor to many. He changed so many people's lives. The day that he asked me to speak at his coaching clinic was obviously a big thing for me because of how much respect I had for him. And I still have the folder. I asked him to sign one of those folders he gives out at the clinic. And he goes, "Why do you want that?" I said, "Because, Coach, the impact you've had on me." And I still have it literally sitting right behind my desk.
That says it all. All right, now I want to get to Kansas State. I'm broadcasting the Penn State-Ohio State game on Saturday. At the end of the game, the ball's tossed into Mike Watkins. Dwayne Washington slaps it away, lays it in at the buzzer, and it's two extra points, and Penn State wins by 14. And Mike Watkins turns around and walks to the handshake line. Well, last night, Kansas State, we all know what happened. When you look at that as an analyst, in one of the more historic buildings, to have something like that happen, what needs to be done to clean up something like that?
Hey, look, that's an egregious act. It's reprehensible. It's both parties are culpable. I'm not sure if it clean it. Look, it's such a rare situation that something like that happens. Basically, there needs to be swift and severe consequence. Actions have consequences. And they're kids. No, they're not kids. Those guys are 21 years old. They know the difference between right and wrong. If that happened in a bar, what would happen? Right. Now, I'm not saying that anyone should be criminally charged, but that type of behavior is unacceptable. And, to me, this isn't a coaching decision. This is an administrative decision. This is a decision that should go down from a league office, the president of the universities, and the athletic directors. But it's a privilege to put on that uniform. It's not a rite of passage. And when you put on that uniform, you represent each and every one that wore that uniform before you. And there's a conduct, an expected behavior that comes with putting on that uniform, and it was broken yesterday. And it's a black eye in our game. It's very disappointing.
And you know, obviously D'Souza has already been suspended indefinitely by Kansas, pending further discipline by the Big 12. Should he be allowed to play another game this season?
No, he shouldn't be allowed to play another game. This group has been so harsh. He's a young guy. People make mistakes. Yeah, people make mistakes. And look, the visual of the chair. Now, people say, well, he put it down. He put it down because there was an assistant coach about to grab him, and we don't have audio of it, but I'm sure he was saying, Coach Howard said, you know, put that thing down.
Yep.
And David McCormick, who I coached David McCormick at Eurocamp a couple of years ago, and I know. But, I mean, if you have someone defenseless on the floor, if that is true and someone was on the floor, because it's really hard to substantiate that, and you're kicking them, again, that breaks, that to me is unacceptable, and there's got to be severe punishment. You can't just say, well, you know, he's going to learn from it. We're going to sit him a couple games. because it's just wrong, and you can't condone that type of behavior. And I don't want to hear that, you know, their kids. You know, everyone talks about we need to do more for the guys. We need to, you know, pay them. We need to name them. And I'm all for all that. But here's the deal. If they are these men, which they are,
yes.
God forbid one of those punches landed. I mean, goodness gracious.
Right.
Then carry yourself that way. Carry yourself right. that way. And you know, yesterday, Kansas State, look, what happened, this ball being stolen, hey, look, it's wrong, but I'm no big deal. The Sosa blocking the shot, I got no big deal.
Exactly.
Standing over the kid, that's when the problem becomes.
Yeah.
And then
yep.
when the Kansas State kid, James Love, comes off the bench and everything
in street clothes,
then it became chaos. And then, look, the Kansas State right. players are as responsible as the Kansas players.
Sure. No, I'm with you. No, there's a single thing I disagree with. Back in 1991, I was down in Atlanta to do the Cuppenheimer Classic. So it was Kentucky, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Penn State. So they put, and the night before they had one of those banquets, you know how this goes, Seth. And the guy sitting mm-hmm. right next to me was Amino Timberlake. Well, a few mm-hmm. months later, Christian Laettner put his foot into his chest.
Right.
Last night, Alan Griffin did the same thing for Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
What should be done about that?
Severe consequences. Well, not to the point. I think you should get 3 to 5 games.
Wow, you and I are on the same page. I said that in the last hour. I said the same thing.
3 to 5 games.
Yep.
Yeah, I just think that. And I, you know what? And I think that Brad will
Brad
do
Underwood.
That. He'll do it on his own. And right. the league will come down because that league has, I think, really holds their people accountable. And I think the league will take action on that. But, yeah, I mean, that was very disappointing. That was, you know, and that's not a reflection. Like, these actions are not real reflections of the coaches. These are singular.
Yes.
You know,
I agree.
Singular situations that, you know, should not be reflective of a total program. But it is a black eye. And the problem with Kansas is when you're on the bottom line for a number of different times at a number of different months, it makes it look good.
So let's get to the good part. I was talking with Kevin Kugler, who's going to do the game on BTN tonight, earlier today. And we both felt that right now in the Big Ten, there are 12 out of the 14 schools that feel like they have some sort of NCAA aspiration. Now, not all 12 are going to make it. How tough is this conference, in your opinion, top to bottom, when you look at it?
It's the best conference in college basketball. There's no rocking chair games. If you win a game on the road, man, you played at a high level. It could get as many as 10 teams in the tournament. Nebraska, obviously, and Northwestern being the outliers.
Right.
It's the best scouted league in the country. It's the maybe the best coach league in the country. It's really good basketballs played, great venues, great ownership, great energy. If you don't play well, you're not winning. So I look at the Big Ten and I look at the Big East this year as being the two best conferences in college basketball. I think that both of them will get between eight, probably a minimum of 8 teams.
Yeah. When you look at Penn State, they have put themselves into the conversation by what they've done from day one. How do you view that team, especially on a national basis, Seth?
They're an NCAA tournament team, and there's no doubt about that. In fact, they're an NCAA tournament team that could win games in the tournament. And look, they're going to lose games in league, man. I mean, that's just the way it is. But if you look at their team and the makeup, they're a veteran team. They've got good guard play. They got some shot makers. They got a matchup nightmare. They got a rim protector. I mean, if you look at the totality of their team and the DNA of their team, I mean, there's not a lot not to like. I would think probably the biggest thing is, you know, consistency. Consistency. But that's a problem in our game right now across the board. But when you got a guy like Lamar Stevens, when you got a guy like Myron Jones, who I think is kind of taking his game to another level,
yeah.
You know, you're looking at, you know, a really talented team. They got 4 guys in double figures. They've got rim protection. They got experience. They got physicality. You know, Mike Watkins is a massive human being. You know, the Bronkington kid is you know, is going to be a really, really good player. You know, Miles Grant is not shooting it as well this year, but is capable.
Yep.
They've got a good team. I mean, they really do. They have a good basketball team. And, you know, the big thing is, you know, the most important thing for them now is make sure they win their home games. And the most important part of winning your home games is to create a home court. That's what you got, 45,000 students there?
Yeah.
50? I don't know. There's a lot of students.
Yeah. Right.
You're telling me that 5,000 students every single night or 6,000 can't get over to that place?
Right.
Come on now. Come on now. Enough. I mean, you know, I know it's in, you know, it's kind of off the beaten path, but get there. And then the community comes in and create an atmosphere and an environment and an ownership and a passion. Because, you know what, when you go to Purdue, when you go to Rutgers even, Michigan State, when you go to Michigan, when you go to Illinois, you know what, they find a way to get there.
Great. Thanks. You just described my life. I walk into those places, I look around, and I see they're all shoehorned in. Nationally, how interesting is it to have a year where there's not a dominant team, a lot of really good ones, but not a dominant team, and no real star?
Yeah, there's no dominant team and no dominant player. Obi Toppin, Luka Garza of Iowa might be as big a star as any. He's not a star to anyone else but the guys that have to play against him.
Yeah,
you know,
he scored
seven. And Miles Power, stars, but, you know, it's, you know, again, it sounds bad, and I'm not being verbose, but I think, you know, missing playing a ton of games on ESPN, would they be a little bit bigger? Probably a little bit bigger. I don't know. I mean, but they're really good players. I mean, but you know what we're having? We're having great games. We're having competitive games. We're having nights where you don't know who's going to win. I mean, look what happened in that Northwestern game last night. That they were pathetic in the first half. They came back and won in the second half. You're seeing teams grind it out. Like, balls getting turned over. People are missing shots. But I think you're seeing some great stuff. I mean, like, if you want a competitive game that, you know, you're going to have to watch to the very end to see who's going to win, man, college basketball is pretty good.
Oh, I think this has been a year where, like, you feel like the last 2 minutes, you're not sure every night out. I mean, I feel like the games I'm watching, like, the last 2 minutes, you're like, okay, they keep bringing it, and it's not like the first 38. The first 38 were so good to get you the last two.
Yeah, because there's an uncertainty, and the uncertainty is good, I think.
No, I agree, though. I think it is as well. You look at Baylor. Baylor right now is up at the top at the moment. Gonzaga's right around there as well. What do you think of those two teams? I mean, they're obviously way in, but I mean,
Gonzaga's the best team in college basketball.
And what makes them that way, Seth?
They got skilled front court players. They got Corey Kispert, who's a monster at that wing, who makes shots tough. They've got Ayayi, who's as a sophomore has blossomed. They got Woolridge, who can really defend. They've got depth. They're the best team. Kansas is the most talented team. Now we'll see who's left of Kansas. Baylor is a very good team, but they've got holes. They're not shooting it very well right now, but two things they can do. They can defend you, and they can really, really rebound the ball. And those are two really good things to be able to do. And
always,
they're tough. I mean, Vital and Gillespie are tough, and that backcourt will come right at you.
And see, I think toughness is going to be a big key for anybody that advances in the tournament. I think you have to be both mentally and physically tough. And I think there's certain teams this year that have that element. Maybe not a star, but have that element.
Yeah, you got to validate wins, especially in the
tournament.
Let's face it, you don't validate a win in the tournament, they're gone. And that's what we've seen. We've seen teams have a hard time validating wins. So, and that becomes, you know, stick-to-itiveness. And we always say adversity visits the strong and lives with the weak. I mean, right now, you need to be tough to get through the tough times so that you're playing your best basketball come March.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
No, thanks, Seth. Seth Greenberg joining us from ESPN. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, so I'm sitting here doing the guy thing during the show. And that is just, I have the TV on, I've got the remote in my hand, I'm flipping through, and they're showing the Chiefs and the 49ers from 25 years ago. So it's what, 1994? Joe Montana's playing for the Chiefs. And I said to Matt, I said, now what do I want to watch that for? I said, when they played the game the first time, I didn't watch it.
I figure when you said Chiefs 49ers 25 years ago, I'm thinking that had to be the 94 game when Montana was with the Chiefs.
It was.
Well, there you go.
I mean, that's what they're showing. Like, it's just so you know, it's 14-9 at halftime.
Oh, thank
you. And I have no idea who won the game. The Niners are winning. But I have no idea who won the game. Nor do I care. I don't care. There's somebody in some state that's trying to give you a line on it. Right now. Yeah.
And there's no doubt about that.
Well, you get your big game tonight. You know, I know you're anxious to leave the show, get away from us, leave middle management. No? Your guy. He's your guy now. So, yeah, I'm getting, you know, I'm concerned now that you're doing this show that you're leaning on advice from the suit. I'm worried.
He only comes in for maintenance issues.
Well, if I had to pick anybody I've ever been around that needed maintenance, it was him. Thank you very much, everybody. I'm back for the 7 o'clock show. Don't forget to tip your waitress. I hate that guy. I can't stand that guy. Oh, Seth Greenberg knocked it out of the park, I thought.
Everything.
He's right. What did I say about Griffin? 5 games, right? He says 3 to 5.
Same
length? 3 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I said, I said, and I, in fact, I even said 5 games, but I could be convinced at 3. All right? So he said 3 to 5 games. D'Souza is done. His college career is over with. It's over with. This guy has had, he's been the center of problems. You know, he sat out all last year. You know why? Because his name was involved in that scandal, the Adidas scandal. And so he sat out last year. Now he's back and he's playing. Okay. And he, and now he's got this. And he's playing DM. Is he a star? No, he's not a star. Is he a good player? He's a good player. He's not as good as the world portrayed him originally. And that happens. I mean, that's you know, that happens. By the way, the Big Ten Network's showing like the Big Ten's best. So top 10 big men. All right. So Glenn Robinson is number 1. This is, you know. Do you realize, now, Penn State beat Glenn Robinson and Purdue in Rec Hall in 1994. When Glenn Robinson was a sophomore, which was his last season at Purdue, you know what it is? It's such a big deal to score 1,000 points in your career, right? He scored 1,000 points that season. How about that? Scored 1,000 points that season. It's unbelievable. Now, he played a lot of games to get there, but still, that's a remarkable number. He was so good. When you go to Purdue, the number 13 is retired twice. One for Glenn Robinson. You know who the other one's for? John Wooden. How about that one? In fact, you want to talk about a strong drive in. When you go to Purdue, you make a left turn at the Neil Armstrong Aeronautical Engineering Building and make a right turn on the John Wooden Drive. Now, that's some strong Google Maps stuff right there, buddy boy. Great to have you with us. Matt is gone. He's out of here. He's going to Bucknell Women's Basketball tonight, 6 o'clock this evening. They take on Colgate at Soica. Matt will be on the PA for that and will do his usual awesome job. Kyle Alexander, who understands the definition of loyalty, will take over.
He's all ready to rock and roll.
Of course, he's a loyal guy. Well, I mean, he'd figure out how to get there. You do a great job tonight, Matt. I'm sure you're going to be awesome.
I plan on to. Thank you, sir. And you have a good call tonight as well.
You'll be great. All right. Looking forward to it. One more half hour to go as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Seth Greenberg, who joined us in the previous half hour. Check out the podcast for that. And Bob Nightingale tomorrow on the Hall of Fame voting. We'll also have a guest from Pro Football Focus on tomorrow. Yeah. By the way, we talked about Penn State and Illinois. That game's going to be February 18th. Fox Sports, which debuted its All Access initiative in 2016, is going to showcase Penn State, Illinois on February 18th for the Big Ten Conference's first All Access contest. The one-of-a-kind commercial-free production will feature each head coach wearing a live microphone, giving viewers the chance to hear directly from the sidelines and locker rooms from tip-off to the final whistle with virtually no interruption. So Brad Underwood and Patrick Chambers, you'll get to hear them the entire time. Okay. I've already talked to Pat about this. Joe Davis, by the way, Donnie Marshall will do the game. Joe also does Big Ten football. Joe also is the one. He has the distinction of being the man that replaced Vin Scully on the Dodgers, and he's very, very good. And Donnie Marshall is an excellent analyst. Really is. Got a chance to really talk to Donnie before the Georgetown game. Really impressed by him. So that game is on the 18th. That's something to look forward to on that Tuesday night. Fox Sports 1. Pat Chambers, all mic'd up. Ah, and Brad Underwood all mic'd up, too. Wow. So, Kyle, were you disappointed at all that somebody didn't get into the Hall of Fame, or did you agree with what you saw?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't even really think about it because what it is, it is. I mean, you have the Baseball Hall of Fame, and Derek Jeter didn't get in unanimously. And that's just crazy to me.
Well, there is one person who didn't vote for him. Now, who that is, I don't know. Now, they do reveal on February 4th, that Tuesday, I think February 4th, they're revealing everybody's votes.
I think he was a Red Sox fan, whoever it was.
Is that what they think?
No, that's what I think.
I'm a Red Sox fan. I'd have voted for him in a heartbeat. It was great.
Yeah,
it's a pain in the neck.
I didn't realize they revealed what everybody voted for, though, but that could pretty interesting.
They do. So there's one person that didn't. We'll find out who that person is, and then, you know, we'll go from there. And to be honest with you, I'm not going to rip somebody because they didn't vote for him. The bottom line is you need 75%. He got it. He's in. Okay? Ask Larry Walker how tough it is to get 75%. It took him 10 tries.
But Jeter, and I'm not even a Yankees fan, but he would have been, what, the second person ever to get in unanimously?
Yes. Mariano Rivera did last year, yeah. But he got in, so I'm really not that. Now, if he missed by a vote, now it becomes more problematic. In other words, somebody didn't vote for him or a group of people didn't vote for him and he missed by one vote, didn't get the 75%. Now it's an issue. It's just interesting who didn't. You know what I mean? It's only of interest who didn't. It is no big deal.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. It's just he's kind of in. Interests me. Yeah, he's in.
Let me put it this way. He's typing his speech right now. He's in.
He's probably had that speech ready to go for 5 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's humble. Maybe he never thought he'd get in, but it's Cheater.
Well, I mean, he's a University of Michigan guy. So, you know, so it's a big deal up here, believe it or not.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, so it is a big deal here. It's interesting. We're walking through the hotel coming back from shoot around, and so we're walking through, and there's Juwan Howard. Okay, Juwan Howard. And I didn't really get into it, but then all of a sudden I realized the Michigan staff is interesting. Saadi Washington's been here, so you know, so his life has been set here, and he's a holdover from John Beilein's staff. But Howard Eisley, Phil Martelli, and Juwan Howard, their families are all back in their respective areas. So all of them are, I think Juwan's living here in the hotel. In the off season, they'll take care of other stuff. But he's living here in the hotel. He's done a good job with them. But this is going to be an interesting test tonight. I think they do a great job of running certain NBA types of sets that are a big plus. They have some interesting defensive concepts, again, because of the influence of the NBA, which I think in some ways has worked well for them. But the interesting part is their numbers home and away are dramatically different. They're much better here than they are on the road. Now, whether Isaiah Livers plays tonight, I don't know. We've heard a couple of reports he might play, and we've heard a couple of reports that, nah, he's not going to make it. Which means I can tell you definitively, and this is the answer you've been aching for, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. Boise State is not happy with the new television deal the Mountain West put out. Now, Boise State is obviously, of the Mountain West Conference teams, has been the one that has drawn the most interest because they've been, all, over the years, to their credit, they've been an interesting team to watch. Even Kyle watches them. Okay? Matt would watch them, but it interferes with his other jobs and that he has to leave early.
He's balancing too many jobs.
Controller's in the car right now. Goes, "Oh, Steve. Oh, Steve.
You're in another state and you don't miss the show."
I'm here. I punch in. I'll punch in. I punch out. I'm throwing the heavy innings. Right? He's got to go 8 miles. You know, it's like he's picking up bad habits from you know who.
I think I know who you're talking about. He said that you called him the Suit Junior.
I didn't call him Suit Light because that's the Suit's kid's name. But I might call him Mini Suit.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he wanted to get up there for dinner. Maybe they serve dinner at 5.
Nah, he's got to do prep. You know, I mean, it's a 6 o'clock game. He's got to be there now. I understand. You know, I also understand your intense loyalty. Very impressive. Throwing big time innings when we need it.
I've never missed a show when I've been called upon.
To accommodate the Cotrillo schedule.
Yeah.
One day my schedule will come into focus, but that's okay. All right. So Boise State, I mentioned the new TV contract. And Boise State has said, quote, "We are weighing our options to move forward." One of those options is a lawsuit against the conference filed in Idaho. The lawsuit obtained by The Athletic alleges the Mountain West is breaking an agreement Boise State and the conference signed in 2012. Boise State had announced that it was going to go to the Big East. Remember that? And I made the joke on the show that when they did it, that the Big East now means east of Seattle. But then the Big East began to crumble. And when that happened, Boise State went back to the Mountain West. That return agreement stated the school's home games would be negotiated separately with no end date to the setup mentioned. The terms and conditions of this agreement shall bind the Mountain West Conference, regardless of any contrary, conflicting, and inconsistent provision of the MWC Constitution. The $1.8 million bonus that they get has long been a point of contention. This is what I was... You ever hear of the Miami Rule? You know what the Miami Rule is?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Okay. Most people haven't, but I'm going to remind some people what the Miami Rule is. The Big East, which was never a conference, it was always a league. Till now. I mean, now it's a conference because... You know why it was a league? Because you had some people playing football. You had some people, like Notre Dame, only playing basketball. To me, a conference is every sport the conference has to offer, everybody plays. Okay? So the Big East was a league. They were trying to accommodate so many different factions. They were so worried in the Big East about Miami leaving. They put in the Miami Rule that if you won the conference and represented them in the major bowl game, you got a $4 million bonus. That was their way of trying to keep Miami in the conference or in the league. So that's why it is not so affectionately known as the Miami Rule. Well, Boise State picked up on that, and guess what? They get a $1.8 million bonus compared to everybody else in the conference by being there. Okay. Everybody else gets $1.1 million. So in other words, everybody in the conference gets $1.1. Boise State gets $1.1. They get a $1.8 million bonus. They actually get $2.9. The new contract with Fox and CBS will triple the other school's distribution and double Boise State's. Boise State asserts in its lawsuit that the driving force behind the new and much more favorable and profitable deal with Fox is Boise State. When the Mountain West held its board of directors meeting last month, Boise State thought they were going to continue to get the support to not just keep the additional $1.8 million outlay, but also increase it proportionally to the new deal. The lawsuit alleges that Thompson and consultant Dean Jordan, and I know Dean Jordan very, very well. Dean was the color analyst with me on Penn State basketball in the late 80s, and a good man. I like Dean a lot. Dean and Thompson presented 8 alternatives, none of which mentioned increasing the bonus. Instead, it states all 8 included different methods of phasing out and ending the additional money agreement. Boise State said it was not given the proper amount of information and did not approve or accept the new television contract, and thus they voted against it. 2 members of the board of directors wanted to end the bonus immediately. In its request for a jury trial, Boise State said it will establish the precise amount of damages it wants. It's a really good look for the Mountain West, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say. A lot more to it, I guess, than what...
There's a lot more to it. Oh, my goodness. There is a lot more to it. Boise State football coach Brian Harsin expressed disappointment in the conference in December that it had not done enough to promote its teams, including his, to be viewed as a viable contender for the Group of Five spot in the New Year's Six Bowl. The American Athletic Conference, which was established from the Big East, earned the berth with Memphis, and of course Penn State beat them by 2 touchdowns. The last time the Mountain West did so was actually in 2014, when Boise State went to the Fiesta Bowl. The Mountain West and Boise State agreed to terms of a new $1.8 million bonus in 2017. They reaffirmed it in 2017.
Yeah.
Now they got a problem. So Boise State, you look at between 2006 to 2011, they went 73-6. There's no question they're the biggest television draw the Mountain West has. I mean, I realize that they, like, deep down you like to watch New Mexico play Wyoming. I got it.
Yeah, that's like the game of the week. Yeah.
I think the first step in recovery is to admit it.
Yeah. And that would be a problem. That would be a problem.
All right. They're by far the biggest draw. Okay? And there's no doubt in winning 95 games, they won more games than any other group of five teams to join the Mountain West. The question now is, can they come to an agreement? But what they did with the bonus was directly out of the page of what Miami did with the Miami rule. And eventually, Miami kept taking the bonuses and then finally went to the ACC. Oh, we live in wild times.
Take the money and run.
Wild times. And I would be remiss if I did not recognize the passing of my good friend 8 years ago today, Joe Paterno, who meant an immense amount in my life 8 years ago today. I miss him all the time. Think the world of the football coach Penn State has now. Joe would not be the football coach now. I'm thrilled that James Franklin is the football coach, and I think James is the best is yet to come with him. And I just miss talking to Joe. Learned so much from him. Almost every conversation I had, I learned something from him. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Kyle, remember at the holiday party, the suit dancing to this when it came on? We had several people leave. That's unbelievable. Good to have you with us. I admire, by the way, your loyalty here, Kyle. I really do. Tonight, Penn State basketball, Michigan. That will be at Chrysler Arena, beginning at 7 tonight on, beginning at 6:30. Michigan better here than they are on the road. I mean, you look at the numbers, they're startling. I mean, Kevin Kugler had a great breakdown of this chart. And they also have breakdowns in their stat package. When you read the stat package, you're like, holy mackerel. But Penn State brings some matchups to the table that are hard for Michigan. They're going to have to take advantage of it, but they're difficult. And Simpson is the key to what they do. Teske's really good. I like Wagner. Wagner's a good player. I don't know about Livers playing tonight. We've heard a couple saying, yeah, he's practiced some, he's ready to go. And we've also heard, like, well, he's kind of just been shooting off to the side. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll all find out together tonight as to whether he plays. The conference has been crazy. Every time you turn around. Now, last night, something unusual happened last night in the conference. Two road teams won last night. Whoa. Illinois won at Purdue last night. I mean, that's big. Well, it's Illinois won a couple of road games in the conference. They also won at Wisconsin. Penn State still has to play them twice. But that's the way this conference is. Incredibly tough. I mean, as I said to I didn't say this to Seth Greenberg, but Seth and I talked about it when he was on the show here, about 12 schools thinking they've got a shot on this January 22nd to get in. 12 believe they've got a shot, and 12 are justified in believing they have a shot. Now, not all 12 are going to make it. At some point, there will be, especially in mid to late February, maybe an elimination game here or two for somebody, where like two schools are going head-to-head against each other, and you got to win. But right now, this is as fun and as competitive as it gets, and it's a season in which there is no dominant team nationally in college basketball, and there is no star. But there is a lot of really good basketball being played. Kyle, our thanks to you for stepping in the last half hour to accommodate Matt the Money Machine Cotrillo.
It's always my pleasure. I'm just hoping he gives me a cut. You know what I mean? Whatever he's making tonight, I hope we get a cut.
I can guarantee you in no uncertain terms, that is a pipe dream. Now that Cotrillo has a child, right? The Luke Joseph Cotrillo Education Fund is in high gear, and you and I are not a part of it.
Nope. And that first car is only 16 years away, too.
Nah, he's saving for college, not for the car. That's Luke's job. Your station.